K. Jackson, Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, a Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacey Lynn. Some scary moments for passengers and crew on a Southwest plane waiting on the tarmac at Dallas Love Field last night. It was preparing for departure when it was reportedly hit by a bullet near the cockpit. The airline said no one was hurt, and they didn't give any more details about the incident or where that gunfire came from. Lots of boxing fans stayed up late last night to see Mike Tyson back in the ring.
After 8 full rounds, we go to the judges' scorecards for the official decision, declaring your winner by unanimous decision, Jake
That courtesy of Netflix and promoter MVP. Tyson, the Hall of Fame former heavyweight champ, dropped a one-sided unanimous decision to the 27-year-old YouTuber. And the fight didn't get off to a good start either. Viewers blasted Netflix on social media for all sorts of streaming issues. Some posted videos showing frozen screens with the dreaded spinning wheel. President Biden is in Peru today for a summit of world leaders.
National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says the president will be there to deliver a strong message.
He is going to be making the case to our allies and, frankly, to our adversaries that America's standing with its alliances, investing in its alliances, and then asking its allies to step up and do their part, which they have done these past 4 years, is central to American strength and capacity in the world.
Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
Some of President-elect Donald Trump's choices for key roles in his administration are causing controversy, including his pick to lead the Department of Health and Human Services. CBS's Margaret Brennan tells us.
Early in the first Trump administration, the FDA had been directed to take meetings with RFK Jr., but those contacts were then cut off because they found he was unwilling to listen to data that conflicted with his personal opinions.
Kennedy's anti-vaccine activism has several lawmakers questioning whether he should oversee the nation's public health agenda. A fire at a hospital in India killed 10 babies and injured 16 more. The BBC's Danielle Yalavetskow.
Local officials say the fire in the town of Jhansi was probably caused by an electrical fault in oxygen equipment. They've denied that safety equipment and fire alarms at the hospital had failed. Families of the injured children say they've been prevented from seeing them.
Climate talks are going on in Azerbaijan, and today's expected to be the biggest day for activists with a march in Baku. There will also be similar marches around the world in a global day of action for climate justice. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. More people across the country are driving electric vehicles, but Wisconsin lags behind. EVs only make up about 1% of all cars on our roads. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
Misconceptions about cost, maintenance, and performance are top of mind for hesitant buyers. But in Wisconsin, where about 30% of the state's population is rural, accessibility is one of the biggest concerns. Jeremiah Brockman with the Wisconsin Electric Vehicle Association thinks it's only partly because rural areas in general are slower to catch on to some trends. He says some areas still don't have enough charging stations.
Part of the problem, too, is you have more farmland in rural areas. And if you spend the entire day out on a farm and you're driving around your, you know, many acres of land, you worry about where you're going to charge your vehicle at that point. And I think that's another hurdle.
Compared to neighboring states, Wisconsin has significantly fewer charging stations. In an effort to help bolster the state's EV infrastructure, Wisconsin passed a law earlier this year to install a network of 65 fast charging stations statewide. The plan is to install them every 50 miles along the interstate system and major highways through next year. Even though the law was Republican-authored in Wisconsin, Brockman says he believes the political divide is another factor in EV ownership hesitation.
Honestly, you know, this is part of a larger national conversation where electric vehicles are kind of being politicized. And, you know, I like to say the benefits are there. It doesn't matter who you voted for last Tuesday. The benefits are there no matter what.
Those benefits include lower fuel and maintenance costs, lower emissions, and potential tax breaks. For Public News Service, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly cloudy, highs near 52. Chance of rain tonight, lows around 46. For Sunday, mostly cloudy and a high around 60. Rain is likely on Monday with a high of 56. For Tuesday, more rain, breezy, highs near 60 degrees.
It's 39 at our studios.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, it's Motown Monday, and we'll dive deep into why certain groups voted for Donald Trump and the direction of the future of our nation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
November 16th, 2024. If it's 7 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's time for This Week in Waukesha. I'm your host, Downtown Donnie Brown, giving you a lot of feedback here. Hopefully we can fix that. But we're coming to you live and local, yes, local, from the home office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown here in my beloved Banting Park. I am joined by the mighty Max Martinson on the board out in the WAUK studios on Victory Avenue in Radio Park. And for all intents and purposes, my show is back in the Shaw now that I have the remote broadcasting kit working. Although we got to do something about the feedback here. Max, how we doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. Got here.
Good. Are you getting feedback, or is that just me on the reverb?
That's on your end. You probably just have to.
Oh, good. Okay. So as long as I can deal with it, we're all good. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Well, we can hear it over here as well. So.
Okay, but on the radio, we're sounding nice.
It'll be sounding the same on the radio, but it's not super distracting.
Okay, good. So it's just me. It's me, not you. Okay, good. So, as I said, we're live and local with the broadcasting kit. You may have seen me at some of the sporting events using it, and essentially that's I'm back in Waukesha. There were rumors that the show was going to be around because we moved studios, but now that I've got the kit, I can go. Actually, I can do the show out of your home, out of your business, and really anywhere in Waukesha that has good Wi-Fi. So anyway, we're going to give you in today's broadcast. Oh, and before I forget, on November 30th, we'll be at Sweet Dreams in downtown Waukesha for Small Business Saturday. So really looking forward to that and really celebrating our small businesses in Waukesha and in downtown and beyond. So we got city news throughout the broadcast and holiday happenings. Janie from the block will be calling in to discuss a rather contentious O&L licensing committee that took place this week. Some verbal fisticuffs, if you will. Triple G will be joining us in the second hour to give us the Carol Minute today. The Pios host Carthage today in their football season finale. It's also a homecoming for two Carthage Firebirds, Waukesha South alum Hector the Inspector Carranza and Isaiah Dunlop. So it'll be great to see them, but we hope they lose. Go Pios. So, and we're going to talk about what we're doing for Thanksgiving this year. We're taking your calls on the Civic Media app. Love to hear from those of you about the most unique and maybe the most traditional of holiday experiences. And again, as I mentioned, other holiday announcements taking place here in the shop. We're going to do a follow-up on holiday delivery thefts. I know we didn't finish the story that we started in last week's show, but we were asked to hold off until the situation was resolved. And it does have a positive ending. So, but a good warning to all of us throughout the city to be vigilant about your holiday packages coming in this year from the different delivery vendors. So, and then briefly, rats. There's the elephant in the living room, but lately in the Shaw, it's the rats in the living room or maybe throughout the house in the neighborhood. Haven't seen it too much here in Banting Park, but I'll be reading a statement from next door from one of the neighbors from Singing Hills here in our neighborhood that had some thoughts to share, and certainly taking your calls on that subject. So, and then we're going to jump into local sports right now. We have the Brew City Wrestling's Thanksgiving Throwdown tonight at the Elks Lodge. More info on that later. Congrats to the Warriors of Muskego, who beat Maguanago 16-14 in their rematch to punch the ticket to the state championship next weekend. Although Maguanago took the opening kickoff back to the house, which is oftentimes a kiss of death, and it proved to be the case last night, is Muskego's two touchdowns and a field goal led them to the win over Maguanago. So congrats to Coach Krause and his young men. So they're heading to Madison to play for the state championship next week, and so is our very own Catholic Memorial. Congrats to Coach Young and the lads playing for the Division III title after a 31-14 victory over number 3 Wisconsin Lutheran in last night's state semifinal at Muskego High School, interestingly enough. The Crusaders will be moving on to the state championship for the 10th time as part of the WIAA and the 18th time overall under Coach Bill Young. Memorial has played for a gold ball in 7 of the past 9 seasons. But some would argue that the real highlight of this game, I understand, was the extraordinary production of the ESPN Milwaukee stream from our own Max Martinson. Max, are you holding out on us here?
Holding out on you?
Yeah, did you were you responsible for that brilliant broadcast last night?
Not that I know of, but
oh, okay.
Perhaps.
Triple G thought he heard your name on the the ESPN Milwaukee stream, giving you the credit for the production. Maybe there's another Max Martinson out there.
I mean, I was at school last night until about 8 p.m. and then went straight home. So if they want to give me credit for it, I'll certainly take it. But
well, I got excited because we've broadcast high school sports in the past. We may explore doing that in the winter, maybe at the Friday night game of the week to be continued. So we'll see what we can do about that. But I also want to shout out Banting Park's own, well, Predominant Park's own, Dawson Zur, the senior goalkeeper phenomenon who led his Lake Country Lutheran soccer team to the D4 state championship last Saturday with a 1-0 win over Shoreland Lutheran. So congrats to Dawson. He's had an amazing year. And to win the state championship with a shutout, much credit goes to Dawson and his family, great family. Dawson's dad was a Waukesha South graduate and a member of the baseball program there where they had some great success. So much to celebrate here in the hood, our very own neighborhood here. Lots of champions. So, and speaking of here in Predominant Park, in Banting Park, we want to shout out Justin Ben Dixon, who's been one of the leaders in the Waukesha South youth program, and with his youngest son finally doing his tour of duty, he's officially announced his retirement from the Waukesha South youth football pro. He was part of a 28-3-3 record in 4 years of play. So he couldn't be prouder of his son, Preston, and the other boys' hard work. So congrats on that. And then Justin's oldest son, Evan, if we can switch quickly to music, his band, the Nunchucks, that was featured on the show last June, some neo-punk, they came out with an album yesterday, a release, and it's called Gone Berserk. So I'm going to need to connect Evan and Justin and the Nunchucks with my good friend Pat Nettesheim, whose music success had their grand opening on Veterans Day Monday. And part of their storefront there in the Burghardt's Plaza in New Berlin on National Avenue is a what they call the Whammy Stage. So, and they, I guess Thursday nights they have live music. So we'll have to get the Nunchucks over there for a gig so we can all enjoy them locally. So, and I'm going to jump over to the Brew City Thanksgiving Throwdown that is tonight from 7:30 to 10 at the Elks Lodge here on 2301 Springdale Road, also here in the neighborhood in my old district. Tickets are $25 for front row, pre-sale 18 or 20 at the door, so I'm guessing it's 20 today. There's family-friendly entertainment, two turkeys, and a visit from Santa Claus. Bar opens at 6 p.m. for food and drinks. And the featured match is C.J. Cole, the reigning heritage champion, facing off against Josiah Vatsana, a former friend and partner. So a grudge match, if you will. Should be very interesting. So how are we doing on time there, Maxie?
2 minutes left.
Two more minutes. So, hey, again, we want to hear about your Thanksgiving traditions or originals. One thing I want to share that I learned about is a new twist on desserts, a sweet potato snickerdoodle cookie that I found in Country Living magazine. You can look the recipe up. I think that could be some new fun for this Thanksgiving. And we're looking for your recipe ideas, as well as your own twist on what you like to do with turkey. And I know this year, our Thanksgiving, we're going to have grilled turkey, which will be new for me. So that'll be fun. And excited that we got the Packers on in the evening. I know we're always stuck with the Detroit Lions. And now that they're a contender, it's more fun to watch. But for all those years that they were miserable, that really put a damper on Thanksgiving, unless they were playing the Packers. So, but it's and it's going to be a fun-filled Thanksgiving. We want to hear what you're doing and what Waukesha's doing. So, and so much more. Next, we'll be talking acting locally, thinking globally, honoring a local veteran, a woman veteran, plus more local news, fun, and so much more here on This Week in Waukesha on WAUK 540 AM. And don't forget to download us on the Civic Media app.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that. Man, if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Hey, we're back on This Week in Waukesha with your host, Don Brown, here. And now it's time for Acting Locally, Thinking Globally. I don't think the sun made its way out, but we are graced again with that wonderful song from Waukesha's favorite song, Les Paul, The World is Waiting for the Sunrise. But we don't have to wait to acknowledge a special member of our community who was honored by Governor Evers this week and the state of Wisconsin. We're talking about Yolanda Medina, who is the second director, Military and Veteran Resource Center at UW-Milwaukee, and was a guest on my Memorial Day Saturday show along with her daughter and granddaughter. And I'm going to read this post from LinkedIn from her niece, Rubina Medina, who's the city clerk, the city of New Berlin, and a former constituent, still lives in our neighborhood. Please join me in giving a huge round of applause to my incredible aunt, Yolanda Medina. She is the Wisconsin Department of Veteran Affairs Woman Veteran of the Year for 2024. I've admired her since I was a little girl. The way she carries herself with strength and compassion, her unwavering dedication to serving others, and her resilience in the face of challenges. She has been a true role model in my life, and this honor is so well deserved. And the reason I shared that post, not because I admire and respect Rubina, but when Yolanda had responded this, she just said, this honor is so very humbling. She is a great example of acting locally, thinking globally, promoting veterans, promoting women in the veterans, and all the important things related to that. And I'm highlighting this, too, because I'm curious to know what our schools did this week to honor Veterans Day. I asked one student I know lives in the neighborhood. She's a freshman at one of the high schools, and she's like, I don't know. It's almost as if there was nothing going on in the school that day or no mention of it from teachers. I imagine there had to be a social studies or history class on her schedule or something going on that the students could partake on or gain education on about the sacrifices of our men and women in service. I did learn that Whitnall Middle School, the students there honored veterans with a celebration that included sharing stories and experiences. And it indicated that the celebration is important and shows respect for veterans. So, but it still begs the question, that's one middle school. I haven't heard anything about what the other schools did, but are we doing enough? I'm concerned that with this focus on STEM, which obviously is very important, we're not teaching enough history, and our young people truly may not know about their own history, which of course includes the sacrifices of our men and women in service defending our country and defending other countries from the threats of fascism, communism, other, perilous regimes. I'm reminded of the quote from Cicero, not to know what happened before you were born is to be forever a child. So if I'm wrong and there's any school officials listening, please call in using the Civic Media app and educate us, inform us. because we would like to hear. So, Maxie, I'm still getting – I'm hearing that we're getting an echo from the app. So whatever we can do to fix that, greatly appreciate it. So, and how are we doing on time here? We have a few more minutes?
Yeah, about 4 minutes left.
4 minutes. So, great, which gives me time to announce that I'm sure most people know this, but it's a good reminder that the city of Waukesha invites the community to join together for the dedication ceremony of the parade memorial at the Greedy Park on Thursday, November 21st at 4:39 p.m., which marks the third anniversary of the tragedy. Greedy Park is located near 538 Riverwalk Drive. And the United for Waukesha Resiliency Center and the city are inviting everyone to light a luminary on November 21st as we come together as a community to honor the lives lost and offer to support to, for survivors on the healing journey. You can pick up a free luminary at the following locations during business hours: United for Waukesha Resiliency Center, Waukesha Public Library, Waukesha City Hall, and the and at the Parade Memorial Dedication Ceremony, if you are able to attend. So, and then before I forget too, my guest next week is my neighbor Ron Gugliotta, who is a faculty member at UW Waukesha. He'll be talking about Corby's Last Call, which is a special event taking place on the last day of UW Waukesha coming up in the spring, I believe in May. And it's going to be a special event to mark the school's history before it closes. There'll be music, there'll be food and beverage, special presentations and more. And so Ron's going to tell us more about that. And we're looking forward to having him as a guest next week on the 23rd. So, and before I forget, how are we doing on time here, Max? Two more minutes? Two more minutes. That's perfect. So, do you own a business in the city of Waukesha? If your business was open prior to September 22nd, 2023, you need to complete a business registration form. There is no fee if this form is completed prior to March 24th of next year. After that date, a full certificate of occupancy with inspections will be required. If your business was opened after September 22nd, 2023, you're required to apply for an occupancy permit. And for more, you can go to the City of Waukesha website on that. And with Small Business Saturday approaching, the Saturday after Thanksgiving, I thought that was a good announcement to read. And then more Thanksgiving here, too, is board games, tournaments like ping pong, pool, shuffleboard, whatever games you have in your house. Do any of you have any traditions in that way? I've heard of a few that I'll be sharing later. And then yesterday, November 15th, was National Recycles Day. And when it comes to recycling, it's important to stick to the basic: cans, cartons, glass, paper, and plastic. The City of Waukesha has a recycling guide, which you can find on the website or in this week's e-newsletter. So check that out. The following items are the worst: batteries, propane, helium tanks, plastic bags, tanglers, cords, light strands, etc. Extra garbage. And more on recycling, as well as National Clean Out Our Fridge Day, and some city news in the next half hour here on This Week in Waukesha on WAUK, 540 AM, and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
CBS News Brief. A Southwest Airlines plane was preparing for departure in Dallas when it was reportedly hit by gunfire. Here's the pilot talking to air traffic control. Still no details on who fired the shot. They issued no further details, and they have no one in custody. The airline said no one was hurt. Big hyped-up fight last night saw Mike Tyson back in the ring, but CBS's Christopher Cruz reports he didn't win.
YouTube star-turned-pro boxer Jake Paul beat 58-year-old former world heavyweight champion Mike Tyson in a unanimous decision after 8 2-minute rounds.
10 newborns were killed, at least 16 babies injured when a fire broke out at a hospital in India. The BBC's Danielle Yawavetskal.
Local officials say the fire in the town of Jhansi was probably caused by an electrical fault in oxygen equipment.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Badgers upset Arizona. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Arizona Wildcats were ranked 9th in the nation, but on a night, the Badgers honored now Hall of Fame coach Bo Ryan. They beat Arizona 103-88. Missouri transfer John Fanjay led Wisconsin with 41 points.
As far as Wisconsin, I feel like I want to be a part of, you know, a night like this. I think we have a great, amazing coaching staff. I just want to be a part of something special. Today we had, you know, alumni come in and we celebrated some of the guys from the Sweet 16 teams. I mean, it was just...
Final four.
Even better. My bad.
They host Texas Rio Grande Valley Monday at the Kohl Center. NBA, Bucks on the road in Charlotte tonight to play the Hawks. College football, Wisconsin and number one ranked Oregon. Kickoff at 6:30 tonight at Camp Randall. The Packers in Chicago against the Bears tomorrow at noon. Rookie running back Marshawn Lloyd, just back from an ankle injury, will not be able to play.
Unfortunately, he had appendicitis, so.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly cloudy, highs near 52. Chance of rain tonight, lows around 46. For Sunday, mostly cloudy and a high around 60. Rain is likely on Monday with a high of 56. For Tuesday, more rain, breezy, highs near 60 degrees.
It's 39 at our studios.
Matt Nair on air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same?
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
John Legend, ladies and gentlemen. John, you and I have something in common because your last name is Legend and you're an actual legend. And my last name is Schwabba and I'm an actual Schwabba. So there you go.
No, what is a Schwabba? You have to explain.
I'm a work in progress, but as soon as I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'll be joined by Tom Moore from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We'll discuss Trump's personnel selection process and recess appointments. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Asking for sympathy.
being caught in between all you wish for and all you've seen, and trying to find anything you can feel that you can believe in. May God's love be with you always. May God's love be with you. I know I would apologize if I could see in your eyes.
Hey, you're listening to This Week in Waukesha. I'm your host, Downtown Donnie Brown. And that is Joseph Arthur's In the Sun, covered by Coldplay and Michael Stipe. Great rendition. And very timely considering the times that we're going through. So, In the Sun. And I believe we have a caller. Is that correct, Maxie?
Yes, it is.
How are you?
And who is
Mary Jane?
Mary Janie from the block.
Yes. Yes, it
is. What's going on?
And, well, first of all, good morning, Waukesha. It
is good morning to you.
Pretty decent weather for having being here the middle of the month of November. So
balmy 38 degrees.
Yes, yes. And get out and walk downtown Waukesha.
It's a good day for a walk.
Yes, to call in to discuss what the current O&L meeting was this week, meaning ordinance and licensing for the city of Waukesha.
I caught the video.
Okay, very good. So one of the beautiful things about the city of Waukesha is that we communicate between the owners and some of the community. And when things are happening within our city, we try to let others know that, hey, take a peek at here, let's organize, and let's bring this to the forefront. Such as happened this week. I was over at Sweet Dreams with Henry there, or a client of mine, and another restaurant owner, which I will not mention at this point, came in and alerted us that the O&L meeting, again, ordinance and licensing, that we should watch that video. So this was the very next morning. So, again, that's the call to action. So any of the citizens, if they want to know what's going on, they can easily go and type in City of Waukesha meetings. Excuse me a minute. Sorry. And then they can go through, and Don, you know, there we have, I don't know how many boards and committees we have, but if you want to know what's happening in at our city level, you can go there, and during or even after, you can see the agenda and the minutes as well as the video of what's going on. So, Don, do you want to explain how that works on the Granicus for the city?
You know, honestly, what I did was I Googled it. And I'm sorry, I got like three laptops going on here. I just Googled City of Waukesha O&L meeting this week or whatever it was, or November 11th. And then it took you right to the link, and it shows you the schedule. And for a meeting that has already taken place, like this one on November 11th, if you go to the very far right, there's like five columns: date, time, location, meeting details, agenda, which is a PDF, minutes not available, but there's a video column, and for meetings that are taking place, there's a link, and you can click on that and watch a recording of the meeting, which is what I did. This meeting was 22 minutes, 56 seconds, so almost 23 minutes, and it is a great tool for our residents should be taking advantage of this and finding out what's going on. And this is a rather interesting discussion, which I'm still confused about, between what defines a reserve license and an existing license or a new license. But go ahead, Mary, I'll let you continue, and then I'll follow up, because I certainly have some comments on that from my experience on the council.
As both you and I have been on boards and committees, and as you as an alderperson, we're more, it's front forward about what's going on in the city. So I work with the bars and the restaurants, not just in Waukesha, but all over Southeast Wisconsin. So this was very important to me. I watched, and currently big news here is the Q Club is up for sale. And the actual realtor, I will mention his name, is Devin Peel. And Devin came.
He's on the Granicus, so it's public record, yeah.
Yes, public record. He came before the committee to do a transfer of license. So say you own a bar and a restaurant, and the norm is, and for years and years, and it's the way it works, is when you're buying a bar or a restaurant, you pay $500 for a transfer of license to the next owner. Because what good is a bar or restaurant if you can't get a liquor license?
Right.
However, if you're doing a new establishment, say you're building, TJ Fridays or a new whatever it is, you would have to apply for a new license, and there's a waiting list called a reserved license. And so with our we had a new clerk who I think has now stepped down, but after the elections.
Right.
But
they are looking for a new city clerk.
Yes, exactly. So she had said they had filled out the right license, but they had filled out the wrong amount. Actually, let me preface that by saying,
you ticked the wrong box.
First of all, they were told, the wrong box, the $10,000 instead of the $500. Well, that was, first of all, people weren't ready for that. But the second thing is that our attorney, or city attorney, had said that the license actually had to go back into the reserves. So everybody was up in arms about that, because that's not how it works. It's a transfer license, and it's $500. And now they're going to have a session coming this week, and then be able to approve or deny this license, whether it be at $500 or at $10,000. So, Don, what was your interpretation of the meeting?
Yes, I had a lot of the same confusion you had. They said they were following Department of Revenue procedure or provisions. And as many, and Brian Running, the city attorney, kept saying, well, I've already said this verbatim, but what you're saying verbatim is still very confusing to the average person or to local business people, or even to a realtor like this Gavin Peel that's, he's been involved in hundreds of these transactions. He even cited Donny Boys, which he said, there were some, they didn't do the best job of stewarding that liquor license in the previous one, but he made that go away. And so he kind of, he slapped himself in the back, but he made a point was that the transaction took place with the liquor license transferring over to a new ownership team. And I know cities can be tricky about liquor licenses. When I was in Chicago trying to open an Irish pub, my partnership team was buying an existing bar that had a license. But we were told that we would have to apply for a new license, that this was what was called a moratorium district. So even with the sale of the property, the license doesn't necessarily go with the sale in the city of Chicago. We were fortunately very successful in filing an appeal or a petition, and were successful in getting the first liquor license in a moratorium district in the city's history. But that was a lot of money and a lot of pulling teeth and everything. And so it's just that either way, it should be seamless for local business owners, entrepreneurs. It's just like you said too, Mary Jane, what good is a bar or restaurant that you're trying to buy if the liquor license doesn't come with it, unless you're looking to demolish the building and or start a new, or the space and start a new concept. But a place like the Q Club, which has been a license to print money, and it's a great, I'm assuming they're not changing the concept at all because of all the games that they have there and the fish fry and the menus, very popular.
Oh, it's a very popular location.
Yeah. So, in my experience, when District 1, or when I was District 1 Alderman, I got a call from the guy from the team that took over Gander Mountain, an outdoor active store that the building was being transformed into a, it's Urban Air, an indoor adventure place that has like racetracks and other, like, I haven't been in there yet, but it's a, but they were investing $6 million. And of course, this was a new license situation, but there were reserve licenses available for, at the time, I think it was like $400, $600. But the city clerk at the time, Gina Kozlik, had told them that they have to apply for the new license and pay $6,000, which you may not think is a lot of money for someone that's already spent $6 million. But for someone that's already spent $6 million in your city and taking over a vacant building and getting it back in the tax rolls, it would make more sense to give them the reserve license, given the investment they've made already. And so at the time, I didn't have a lot of expertise on it, in spite of my experience in the restaurant business. So I referred the guy to the mayor's office, because Sean Riley was a city attorney for the city of Muguanago, and an attorney by trade, and that I think he could be more helpful and actually more responsive. And as it turned out, when I followed up 2 days later with the owner, he's like, oh, yeah, we already, the mayor took care of it. And when I saw Sean after the fact,
wonderful,
he said he just called Gene and said, why wouldn't you give these guys one of the reserve license? I mean, look at all the money they've already ponied up. Just give it to them. And that was the
That's
end of it.
Good business. That's good business, yeah. And good governance.
Yeah.
So here's one of the things.
Good yes, thank yeah. you. Good government. Yeah. So
here's one of the things that bothered me in that meeting, Don.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is that, yeah. Is that the realtor, Devin, and his group were not privy to what the city had in mind. They kind of were surprised because it was completely different than what's been done before. So that could have been more respectful by alerting them, hey, this is correct, or this is what we're thinking, and they could be prepared for it rather than get slapped in the face when they're there. Is that there was not, it was not helpful. There was no, instead of, our city government should be a little bit more helpful and say, here's what we're thinking, this is how it's going to go, so on and so forth, and meet with people rather than, or try to help them through a situation. That's the big thing. Help them through a situation rather than be, so they're not defensive and have the city be more.
Hey, sorry to interrupt. How are we doing on time, Max?
Got 2 minutes left here.
Okay, great. Go ahead, Mary Jane. Keep going. And Mary Jane, I hope you'll stick around after the break because I want to finish this conversation, but keep going.
Okay, so that's the thing is, I remember, too, when the city changed, they changed things, laws, but then don't communicate down to the citizens or the people that it affects. And there was one time when they changed the parking behind the river, behind the main street. So at 2 to 6 a.m., you couldn't park there. But guess what? The bars were, and the cleaning people and the bartenders were still cleaning up the bar restaurant, and then they go home and they were all ending up with tickets. So you, one hand has to talk to the other hand, or you have to walk through the talk ahead of time and say, who does this affect and how is it going to affect them? And so these people racked up a lot of parking tickets, but they were just trying to work. So we have to be conscious of the citizens and the businesses and help them through things like this so it's advantageous for all.
Sounds great. Okay, 1 minute, Max? Sounds good. So, Mary Jane, stick around. I have some questions for you on the other end of this break here on This Week in Waukesha on WUK, 540 AM, and the Civic Media app. Thanks, Jane.
All right. Thank you.
I don't know anymore what it's for. I'm not even sure if there is anyone who listens on. Will you help me to understand? 'Cause I've been caught in between all you wish for and all you need. Or maybe you're not even sure what it's for.
a new choice. Milwaukee's real news and great conversation, 540 WAUK.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know, exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah,
that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like the
it's only glass.
It's only
glass.
Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Welcome back to This Week in Waukesha on WAUK 540 AM. I'm your host, Downtown Donnie Brown. And I still have Janie from the block on the line, more popularly known as Mary Jane Sanchez. But in high school, everyone knew her as Janie.
That's correct.
So it's our way of attracting more listenership. Get some of those from the class of 77 and
yeah,
thereabouts. To tune in. So, terrific. So, Mary Jane, thanks for bringing this to our attention. You had called me earlier in the week about this, and I watched the video, and, you know, I'm a big believer. I always tell people about I'm very nonpartisan. I grew up in a Republican family with immigrant Democrat roots and influences. A very conservative Republican mother that was also a teacher and a strong advocate for unions. So we're all over the place. But at the local level, I subscribe to certain Republican doctrines about getting out of small businesses' way and helping them get to that next step to profitability and success. And so, there's taxes going into the city rolls. There's people being employed locally. And there's products and services that attract other businesses to want to come and do business in Waukesha. And so when it comes to a liquor license, a situation like this where it seems like a transfer of an existing license as part of the purchase of an existing business, a restaurant, bar that already has a successful footprint, imagine the new owners would come in and probably not try to disrupt the status quo there, maybe make some improvements. Maybe there could be some renovations, those, whatever. But as far as the license goes, in my experience, my name's been on at least 5 liquor licenses in my storied history in restaurants. In every couple of years, whatever it is, the management team of any bar or restaurant has to go back to the police and be fingerprinted and mugshotted, all those things for the liquor license. Or if a new manager comes in, whatever that is. And so that's not, these guys buying the bar and restaurant could be totally unproven as restaurateurs or bar operators.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of their background checks and the fingerprint, all that is very transparent. And that's the thing, is a liquor license is contingent upon these guys passing a background check. But certainly they've got the financial stability if they're close to purchasing this and there's a realtor involved. So, but it leads to a bigger question too, Janie, that I'd love you to weigh in on. is that, you know, my experience in the council when Gina Kozlik was the city, that clerk's office ran like a top. Very professional, very well run. A good example of that is Rabina Medina, who I mentioned earlier, who moved to the city of New Berlin on a lateral move. Was a little more money, but then within 1 or 2 years, she became the city clerk and is doing great things there, including a seamless election process that was very highly regarded. But here, since Gina left, I know we had an acting city clerk, and there were some things that seemed to kind of fall through the cracks. Now, the election was won very well, so I'm not talking about that. And congrats to all those judges and everyone else that supported a really good effort. But as you saw in the video, Brian Running, city attorney, and the member from the clerk's office had cited that they were busy with the election. That was their priority. And so they weren't able to proactively communicate to Gavin Peel and the new potential owners of Q Club about the situation with the license. But what's going on with the city clerk? I mean, I know they're looking for a new city clerk, but it begs the question that you would have thought there would have been more continuity in the change of leadership or change of oversight on the city clerk's office since Gina's departure. What are your thoughts?
Well, of course you didn't prep me for this because
I know we're going to talk about Thanksgiving too, but I thought this was important.
Yes, it is. I stepped away, as you know, from all my civic duties 2 years ago this month, just so that I could do other things in life. But my heart is still with the community. So I'm not aware or not sure of what the transition was there, just that there was a new clerk. People still call me about things, but I've really tried to put, blinders on to some of the stuff that's going on, unless it affects me as the licensing does, or anything else with the city. So Don, I'm going to turn this around on you a little bit. And you were just mentioning that about the occupancy permits that people have to fill out. Well,
oh yes. I did want to ask you about that. Thank you.
Yes. So first of all, the personal property tax went away. So I was paying, and all other businesses were paying. The inspector would come in every couple of years, look at all your assets that you have in your business, and you'd pay a fee, which was a personal property tax, which is actually a business tax. And that went away at the state level, I believe, last year. As you know, the city's running out of money. We had some big expenditures, and I'm yet to meet the new city administrator, but what I've seen online
Tony Brown.
Is that he has it together. Okay. So, Tony, I'm going to reach out to you one of these days.
I've heard great things about Tony, too, from council members and other city staff, so. Terrific.
Now we have this.
So, Janie, I hate to do this to you because I know you got your more, but can you stick around? Because we want to talk about your Thanksgiving traditions here. We've got a minute here left in this first hour, but if you give us a few more minutes on the other end, we want to know what you're doing for Thanksgiving and any Bloody Mary ideas for Thanksgiving. And so much more here on This Week in Waukesha on 540 AM and the Civic Media app. So much more. Don't forget, my guest next week is Ron Gugliotta talking about Corby's Last Call at UW Waukesha. And then the following week, we're going to have Mary Jane's client, Henry, in Sweet Dreams for Small Business Saturday. We'll be on location there, too, so that'll be a lot of fun.
Awesome.
And so much more here on This Week in Waukesha. Do not go away.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK. Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will take a look at what happened over the weekend. Don't worry, nothing. Well, yeah, some things are going to happen over the weekend. We'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10.
The Dom Salvia Show.
State Senator-elect Jody Habesh-Sinikin. What's the best way, do you think, it is to approach a difference in not just opinion, but in what we perceive as facts with those that may not be aware or don't agree with it?
First, having a conversation. Try to get an understanding of what is really bothering them and try to offer solutions at the state level or at the local level where there can be progress.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.